can't be live.
And this is probably going to be very racist.
Bonus
time. What up?
What up?
Hello. We're here. We're here.
Hello. Whitney just peeked from the background.
It was very ominous. Very I'm glad you ghostly. Noticed that too. Because Patty's background is blurred, but we saw a shadowy figure just sort of lean into the back of the frame. Mm-hmm. A little creepy. Yeah, a little creepy.
Yeah. Also, every time we do an episode, and I got a fresh shave on, I realize that ring lights are for hot people because, yes, they make your face look nice, but they also put a very specific glint on your head that I don't think they deal with.
That's in now. Dewy skin is very in. So, you know.
Dewy pates, look. I think, are
dewy
less.
Pates.
Yeah.
Well, don't call it a pate. That's your first
problem.
You
gotta call it a pate. It's one of the few enjoyments you get is to refer to your head as your pate. I got new clippers. They're like, so I guess it's like an actual thing that's like when with barbers, there's like a process called balding. That's like, that's what they're for, is for like cutting hair very, very close to the head. Mm-hmm. And they're like professional clippers or whatever, but I just have this pair of clippers that says balding on it in huge letters. It's like, motherfucker.
That sucks.
Yeah. But hey, if you buzz your head, I highly recommend them because they're like the first clippers I found that like go down close enough, but don't go full, just like.
Right.
Just skin.
Full
just
bowling
like full,
ball. Yeah.
Full ball. They give you enough of the texture to pretend
right.
that there's to just kind of make your head look a little different on different parts. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Pretty good bits. Yeah.
The 5 o'clock shadow of the head. It's important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's still sad to do in your bathroom by yourself, but at least it works. Nice. It's good. You know, it plugs straight into the wall like a fucking Hitachi so that it's the highest power head shaver of all time. It is scary. It vibrates like a lot, and it's, you know.
Yeah, so it really is like a Hitachi. It's like, this ain't no rechargeable shit. This is going straight to the source.
Two in one.
Full power on this. Two in one.
Yeah. I know it's like a physics thing or whatever, but it's like, I still don't understand how safety razors or safety shavers work, like at all. Like the fact that I can put that to my head and it's like the hair is gone, but it doesn't just peel all of my skin away. I'm like, look, that's just science magic. This
None
is
of your business.
I assume it's some sort of capillary action. I know it's not, but that's the closest thing my brain can process.
I'm pretty sure it's just that there's a guard that keeps the razor from getting too close to your head. I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah, but even when you angle it, it's...
I know. It seems like you should be able to peel off your skin pretty easily by accident, and yet somehow...
God willing, we will
flay yourself. Yeah. Finally. I mean, you can, but yeah.
Do you ever go to like a barber?
No, we waste that money? No, no, no.
I don't know.
I mean, there are barbers that charge less for a buzz, if it's just a buzz, but it's still like the $20, $25 plus tip.
I'm not saying you like need to, but like I just because I don't know. Sometimes people with beards will go and get it shaped up a little bit, you know.
I don't. I've never let anyone like this. It's like Samson. Like I've never let anyone cut my beard by myself, and at this point, it feels weird. I don't like people doing it. Also, I feel like you end up with like a very you have a good chance of ending up with like that like
fade.
Super tight, you know.
Oh like, yeah.
Or.
The I super just, tight line. Yeah, yeah, you don't want that.
At this point.
I'm scared because I wish I could do it myself because I'm totally at the mercy of others for my hair. And the woman who does my hair is going on maternity leave. And it's I don't want another... I don't need another person up in there figuring this out again.
Yeah.
I'm pretty scared about it. Next time I go, it's going to be... It's her, like, friend. Like, she recommended someone, but I'm just like, I don't trust this.
I don't know
what I'm going to end up with.
Luckily,
when I go get my hair colored, it's the exact same thing every other woman with my hair color wants. So I'm like, just give me that. Give me the thing that we all get. Maybe you look like blonde again. Thanks.
Yeah. I do miss the experience. Like, maybe I'll just, but I don't want to waste the money on it. So maybe I'll just pivot to like manicures or something. Or I'm like, okay, if I'm going to spend like $20 on somebody just kind of like touching me nicely.
Talk to our friend Bobby Condon.
Not in a gross way. Bobby Condon gets manicures?
Bobby Condon gets mani-pedis. And his nails look great. He was showing me them last time we saw him.
Bobby Condon. Oh, boy.
Yep. He loves it, too, for the same reason you said, just like, it's nice to get sort of tuned up, to get some attention. Yeah.
So hard to do this without feeling sexual in some reason, for like getting an old tune-up.
Nice. It's not sexual. It's like someone touching you and paying attention to you in a way that's not, like, erotic at all. It's, like, kind of nice in another way.
When I first quit biting my nails, I went and got manicures a few times just because I didn't want to like mess up clipping them and it's nice. It got a little bit weird for me, I think, because it was just kind of like there's something so like, because I'm not used to it and haven't done it my whole life, this idea of just like kind of sitting there disinterestedly while somebody's like, you know, going like, I think I got a pedicure too. It's like just like looking at phone or whatever while somebody's just, you know, people put headphones in and stuff, which seems like very rude to me, but yeah, I'm sure the person doing it doesn't care, you know, but it's just very, it's like shoe shine level of kind of like, you know, hello down there. Can you please clean up my feet? You know, like,
I mean, it is like the most feeling like you have a slave or something, because they're just at your feet doing stuff while you're sort of not paying attention. And I just make up for that by tipping like 50%.
Well, but sure, like, sure.
But especially if you're not used to it, like it is an odd sort of interpersonal relation, and like, yeah, it's strange. It's like fucked up that we have that and that those people aren't, they should be, if you have to touch feet, you should be like making six figures a year. Like that's who's going in on all our fucked up pinky toes. Like, you should be getting paid more.
Yeah. But, sure. Getting that garlic clove all spruced up. I think there's an old time, like, In Union Station in D.C., there is an old school shoe shine, like the big, and it's, I don't think it's placed there for like reason, almost as like, I think at this point it's like almost they like it because it's like kind of historical or whatever.
Right.
But it's like,
quaint.
It's like in such a weird place because it kind of is like where everybody waits for their train, and it's near McDonald's, which just never helps a vibe. But like, if you're getting it, you literally are sitting like 5 feet up. Everybody's watching you because everyone's just waiting for their train to arrive. I mean, I think the shoe shines, like, obviously they don't, I don't think they do a lot of, but they just need to pivot into like, get those fancy sneaker things. Like, I would legit, like, there are sneakers where I'd be like, if
have
you can really clean
sneaker.
My sneaker, because like, I think they could do it. They could bring it back. I mean, it's still not, I guess it's also not a job anyone's really hurting to bring back, but
I wonder if shoeshine people have that in their toolbox now too. Like, they might do your sneakers if you ask. But yeah, I think that's like the problem with, like, I feel like getting a manicure, I don't feel like that is that uncomfortable because you're face to face with someone. You can talk to them. Even if they don't want to talk, at least like they're still like literally on the same level as you. Getting your feet done, like shoeshine, pedicure, whatever, it feels very like supplicant in a way that is weird.
I mean, like, it's like a kiss away from just pure like worship. Like,
right,
it's very
right.
uncomfortable.
I mean,
right. Because like a lot of people who do nails are from cultures where feet are even more sort of like disrespectful than they are here. It's just like, I feel weird about this. It's not the best. It could be better, but I don't know. They do a good job. I can't do my own toes and have them look good. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's a nightmare to do your own feet. It's like, especially a little, you get a little belly, you get a little older. Someone clipping. This is like, we were talking about AI. I'm like I was trying to work on a bit about that specifically, the robot that I'm the maddest, that they're like, we have one that paints. And I'm like, the fact that I am still cutting my own toenails feels like a loss. Like, feels like a huge technological
There should be like a cute little R2-D2 that does that in my sleep.
That's what I said. I was like, I want a little rat. Why isn't there a little guy that comes and just chews them off? Why can't there be? In my head, it looks like the Mousers from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, little chubby guys.
Yeah, yeah,
just nip them off. It's like, it is such a like, and I realize this sounds very, you know. Also, can I? I'm glad that we kind of like finally the whole like first world problems thing fell out of vogue, because that was just like the way that was weaponized was so not like accurate and like stupid. Where it's like, yeah, people complain about inconvenient things, but like the combination of like grunting my way through clipping my nails, and then after you're done having to like pick them up, is just like, man, it's like one of those.
You gotta do it over like the toilet.
Like there's like acts where I'd be like me, nudes of me are would I would rather have released than a video of me cutting my nails. Like that's where really? That level of like, I don't know. I mean, I'm being facetious for the sake of comedy, but like it's closer than it should be. It's just not a great moment.
Well, I didn't realize, because like I hurt my back, and I like right now cutting my toenails would be like an absolute nightmare. But the biggest thing I've realized is like I didn't realize how much I was constantly cleaning my house that I now can't do because I can't bend over. Like I didn't realize how much I was like sweeping and picking things up just like throughout my day constantly that I now can't do, and my house has gotten so gross so quickly. Well, because la-di-da. I just like. It sucks to clean. It sucks to like bend over past my waist. Like I just can't do it. So
Kath eats a lot of peanuts. So there's just peanut shells everywhere. All the time.
Kath lives in a Five Guys. It's a mess.
No, I'm just a clean person. You assholes.
Get a
I also
Roomba.
Have a cat. So it's
what,
like,
am I
going to
stop eating these peanuts? I'm sorry. This is I need these.
I eat only shelled nuts. That's my, yeah. Get a Roomba you can yell at, like me. That's,
I
man.
I feel like I should get a Roomba. At
Turn
least,
around,
like,
you
for
idiot.
A temporary...
It's so funny.
For a temporary solution to this problem.
I recommend that, like, if you want to get one and you get the cheap one, like, it's going to be frustrating. So try to find joy in, like, how obviously... the cheapest like programming you got on it. It's so stupid.
I'm gonna be real. I'm not gonna get a Roomba. My apartment is not big enough to justify not just sweeping it. Like
sweeping it out with an old I mean, it's like it's a different thing. Like it definitely does a better job than it does rugs and stuff, but yeah, I just like the fact that it's like we'll try to see if something is still a wall like 8 times. Just like, yeah. Man, you're not.
That does seem like the main joy of it is that part, is watching it fuck up. Seems like, I guess maybe a quarter of why it's fun. 75% of why it's fun is because then you don't have to vacuum or sweep anymore. But
or bend over, yeah.
Or bend over.
Yeah, to run around. And then, you know, and pull it out from under your couch, like when it gets stuck and cries. So, you know, look, it's the only pet, it's the closest thing to a pet that cleans that you can get, depending on your level of how much you can fool yourself into.
That's like
it
when
a
people get like little like rodents and stuff, and they're like, no, it's self cleaning. He like cleans himself. And I'm like, he's not doing a very good job because your apartment still smells like this. Like,
yeah, none of them do.
I don't think any job. Of them really do a human level job of cleaning. They don't have access to Fabuloso or whatever in mm-hmm. their little cage.
Also, he cleans himself. Like he's got a little like dustpan in there. He's like he's cleaning up his stuff. Give him
a little chinchilla. Yeah. I feel like also if you have a pet, certain pets, it's like you should check in at some point. Just make sure that it doesn't smell weird in your apartment because it might. You know, I'm not trying to give people anxiety, but just ask somebody.
Dude, when I had COVID, it was so like. I had COVID. I was sick. I got better. I lost my sense of smell. But the main thing that I couldn't smell my cat's litter anymore. And I was terrified. I was cleaning it like every 3 hours because I was like, I have no detection anymore. Like it's gone, you know.
Could have given yourself a break. But yeah, I can attest, Shelby, your apartment does not smell like cat
nope.
litter. And I was at somebody's apartment who had recently gotten a cat, and I felt I was doing them a boon where I was like, hey, by the way, just so you know, it doesn't smell weird in here at all. Like,
no,
you're doing
that's
a good
like
job.
Very, as a cat owner, that is very important.
Because I've
like,
walked into
I do
places.
I do expect people to be honest with me.
Yeah. There's definitely places I walked in, they're like, oh, by the way, I have a cat. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. I
just want to be clear. Eli has never been to my apartment, so he is not passive aggressively yeah. telling me my cat.
No, I don't know.
Smells like litter.
I have no idea.
Got to invest in the litter robot.
The litter robot.
Yeah,
Roomba
she always
that
got the
eats
litter robot.
Turds. Mm-hmm. Turdba. Call it the Turdba.
What is it? It's like, it like crawls around all day in the or does it know when the like
it like
does
it... sifts it, right? It's like a little Zen garden rake, I believe. Is that right, okay. Shelby? And then it like drops into a chamber.
Raking my cat's turds into perfect concentric circles.
That's relaxing.
Reaching nirvana. It's good. But yeah, that's it. And trying to convince everyone
IT
I know that
rotates
has a cat.
IT into a bag underneath.
Two ITs in a row.
Yeah, it's sort of like and then drops it.
It that's fires cool. them out. Like the
I just
Mr.
go
Bucket.
Analog and clean it a lot. It's fine. So,
I train my cat fine. To go to the bathroom in Mr. Bucket. And it fires the turds out around my apartment, wheeling around.
Mr. Bucket is crying. He looks, he's very unhappy. That's the, this yeah. is a sad
he's
Mr.
full
Bucket.
Cat turds. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Free me from this, from my servitude.
Yeah. But that's what I do. And I try to convince everyone I know that has a cat to buy that little cat house that looks like a Japanese convenience store stand. Zero so far, but
those
I'm pushing it hard.
I had for a while. Zelda had a strawberry that was pretty good.
I saw
she
that
a little strawberry bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is like weird about. She's picky about beds, though. Like, it's hard for me to invest because like a lot. She just doesn't. She doesn't take to a lot of stuff, you know. So it's like I don't want to spend all this money on this Japanese convenience store that she just looks at and is like, "Why? Why is this here?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so you can go in it and I can take pictures.
Yeah.
She doesn't get it.
I feel like cat accessory pet toy businesses should have, that should be part of their return policy because they know the deal. Just like, you should be able to yeah. just be like, yeah, my cat is not it, has decided this isn't fun or cool.
Should and be a so, trial period, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's one thing. I probably have more toys bookmarked for if I ever get like a dog than I do like anything that is important to their health or safety. I'm just like, okay, I want the little sword where they hold it in their mouth and it looks like they're holding a sword. That's big. Hold on to that. Yeah. But, hey,
should
get
do
a
one
husky.
Of our stories?
Get a husky. In a studio?
Your neighbors will love that.
Yeah. Famously quiet animals. Very normal.
Yeah.
Apartment dogs, for sure.
Yeah, the only husky I've walked regularly also figured out how to open human doors and unlock them. So, yeah, it'd be
man,
great.
Man, by the way, we were talking about this before we started. I watched The Thing yesterday. The dog acting in that movie is so incredible. Like, they somehow got a dog to act like if an alien was pretending to be a dog. Like, how did they explain that to him? How did he know?
Yeah.
He's not acting like a dog. He's acting like a weird dog.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm reticent because, like, back when they made The Thing, the answer is like, they gave it something bad or whatever. They're like, they fed it spicy
they made it
sauce.
Sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
They made it sick.
They fed it 40 peanut butter sandwiches and then it acted weird.
Get that spicy sauce over here. Give me the spicy sauce.
There's, yeah. Between that and the dog in Anatomy of a Fall, like, just two of the greatest dog performances I've ever seen in any movies, like really, how yeah. did they how the dog doing that? I don't no, get it.
I assume when the fall happens in Anatomy of a Fall, the dog goes roar roar or something along those
yes.
lines. That's basically what it is. Yeah.
So the dog, like part of the movie is that the son of the couple, the dad is the one who falls, the mom is the one who's under suspicion of
committing the
their
fall.
Son is blind and then he has a seeing eye dog. So
okay.
like the dog is the real witness, you know, the dog maybe has some info, but like, yeah, man, it's, I don't want to give away what happens, but the dog has to do some acting and he does a great job.
He has
it's
to go on the
incredible.
Stand. It's the Air Bud ending. Walk to the left if he's guilty.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, also, I'm sure Patty is go to bat for the Frasier dog, whatever which is like
Jack Russell.
I think there's a great actor in the sense that I had a real feud with. Didn't like Kelsey Grammer fucking hate the dog?
Oh yeah, I think so. But that, who knows what was informing that? That was apparently a rough time in Kelsey's life as well.
Yeah.
What was the name? The dog was Eddie in the show, but I forget his name. It was like. It was like one word. Moose, I think, is the name.
Oh yeah.
And no, he was sick of the dog Moose. Getting attention. Yes. The dog getting all the attention, I believe, was part of it. Which is
I think
funny.
At one point the dog was getting more fan mail than he was. Mm. It was made really bad. Yeah.
Maybe turn in a better performance than that dog if you mm-hmm. really want to, you know, win out.
Yeah, tough. Dog does get a lot of close-ups. So
this is what the next season of Feud is about. It's about Kelsey Grammer and the dog. Ryan yeah. Murphy's gonna give it his special touch, aka make it shitty.
I definitely thought you meant Family Feud. The next season of on the next season of The Feud, Steve Harvey says some sexual stuff.
It's a mini series. They're doing a Truman Capote one that's coming out pretty soon.
The dog is being played by Sarah Paulson. There's a law that says she has to be in everything.
Wig is incredible for this one. Oh my god, you'll never believe it.
Well, should we do this? Speaking of pets, we got a pet story.
Sure.
We can jump to here. Let me check if we have a source for this.
My bussy and me.
My bussy and me. Sent. This is in Milwaukee. Bad news. Milwaukee woman, 16-year-old dog, disappeared from her backyard. And as many of us would do, she, quote, feared the worst. And then it says, fortunately, the Shih Tzu named Bear. Again, we got a lot of great dogs just named different animals. Always a classic, reliable choice.
Yeah.
Was located in the last place she expected, which I think is a little exaggerated. This isn't
what about
the last
place. He was located on like one of the rings of Saturn. Yeah.
Yeah. Located in the jail they put Red Reddington in from the blacklist. Now that would have been a surprise.
He's in the cube. The dog has been
the dog
so
has
funny.
Entered the cube.
The guy is a mastermind. You don't need to put him in a cube. He doesn't have powers. Just put him in a regular room.
Doesn't he get out? So, you know, didn't even work.
Yeah, but why do you need to see the back of his chair at all times? He's just a fixer.
That's what
dude.
They did for in Silence of the Lambs. They put Hannibal in one of those too. And it's like everyone else in the little Hannibal hallway has a regular prison cell, and then Hannibal has like a plexiglass hamster cage. And it's like, why is this separate? Why does he get a different one? Like, it's not better than bars.
He was kicking turds out into the hallway. That was his great.
He still has little holes in it that you could throw a turd through. Plus, the other, you know, who should have plexiglass is Migs, the cum thrower. He needs plexiglass.
Yeah, they all need plexiglass. That's fair. Mm-hmm. So this dog disappears. Yeah, no. He disappeared. The gate was cracked open. This dog named Bear, which has a phenomenal little underbite here. If you guys have seen the pictures, it's kind of says Shih Tzu. Doesn't look like a full. Looks definitely like a mix to me. In a fun, cool way. Like got some terrier in there. Posted on social media. Said, hey everybody. Look out for Bear. And then they got a text and they said, your dog is down at Finks. And Finks is a bar that is like, I don't know exactly how far away. I'm trying to see if they say, but
just
a
mile
classic away.
Name for a bar. Finks.
Finks. Down Finks. At Finks. Mm-hmm. Well, I think of Milwaukee as like a real bar, like a neighborhood bar city too. So yeah. Like, I don't want to see any pictures of Finks because I have a good idea of what it
no
looks
shortage
like,
of beers in Milwaukee. Yeah,
absolutely.
And so Finks is down at having a great time by all reports. Said a friend of a friend sent Hazard a photo of Bear having the time of his life at Finks Bar.
He's going
which clearly is
off.
Figurative language, but I love imagining this picture.
I mean, how thrilled would you be if you were like, you know, at your neighborhood bar where you know everybody and all of a sudden a new character walks in and it's a dog? You're like, we're hitting season 5 or 6 of this bar at this point. If this is a character that's being introduced here.
Yeah. Eddie walks into Cheers and Kelsey Grammer is furious.
Oh,
Kelsey
really?
Grammer somehow throws him out.
Somehow has a time machine. I mean, I think they're. I mean, the dogs at bars are like every bar is dog friendly. It feels like around here in Brooklyn. And then
there
you
was
know,
when I lived in Iowa, there was a bar where a neighbor's dog would come unattended, and it would hang out.
Yeah.
And we were
feels
just
like there should be somebody there. But
well, like everyone, we knew whose dog it was, so it was just like, here's the dog. I just remember because my friend was like, it was like a real shitty bar, and my friend was like, wow, not even being a dog gets you kicked out of Rabbits.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah,
better than a baby. And also, it's a weird thing. Whenever you like complain about babies at bars, which is like a thing, like small children at bars, and then there's all these people who act like. They're like, oh, so I got to give up my life or whatever. And I was like, I'm not sure everybody understands that it's like, if you're like at brunch sitting outside and you have a stroller with you, that's not like there are bars where somebody has like a 2-year-old and it's not, it's like a dive. It's like the 2-year-old is like tugging on their shirt.
I saw a little kid at Turkey's Nest last weekend at like midnight. And I was like, you can't do that.
Like there's some stuff where it's like, yeah, this is not about. Having a day out, getting out of the house.
You shouldn't be changing a diaper in the same room where people are doing bumps of K in between the diaper. Yeah. Like, that's not right.
Yeah, I feel like there needs to either be sports on currently, or it needs to serve food. Otherwise, it's just like, I don't know, it's strange. You know,
it doesn't like bother me if it's like happy hour or something. I think that's fine. But yeah, I just, a friend of the show, Brian Garrett, had a really good joke about this because he has a kid and he's just like, a cool parent is a bad parent. Like, if you are keeping up with the zeitgeist or whatever and you have a kid, you're like not doing a good job raising your kid. Like, you shouldn't have time for this.
You should really only know Roblox. Roblox,
exactly. Like, your life should be Roblox. If you're like keeping up with shit, you gotta pay more attention to your kid. This is bad.
Yeah, you shouldn't be doing a lot of posts like on the news of the day because that means your kid is getting into the stuff under the sink.
Right.
I'll befriend every parent that listens that knows what's happening. So
if you're learning what's happening from our podcast, then that's allowed.
Please,
you can listen
that's
to
the
a
only
podcast.
Way.
In fact, we actually don't. A lot of people listen to our podcast, and they're like, "My kid's in the room," and they're like, "Please stop talking about the Sibian." Which, no, I will never stop talking about the Sibian.
Your child's first word will be Sibian, thanks to us.
My favorite AI is the Sibian machine. uses machine learning to make people come on Howard Stern. Anyways, Bear is in good shape. He went to the bar. Everybody was having a great time. He looks like a bar dog too. He's got
He looks like he's been to Josie's. Like he's been under the bar at Josie's. Yeah. Like he's a very
looks a little like a rag. I love a dog that looks a little bit like a rag.
He looks like they use him to clean the bar. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He loves it. They send him scooting down the top, picking it all up.
Just jamming him into mugs, like, you know, when somebody walks in, you know, old school bartender with the big apron on.
Yeah.
A big scary guy walks in and he slowly stops using the dog to clean the mug.
Starts wringing the dog. Okay. And actually, now I'm reading the end of the story. The thing about how Bear was having, quote, the time of his life might not have been too inaccurate because apparently... There was a group of girls going bar hopping that saw Bear walking around and took him to Fink's with them.
That like, rocks.
Get in. You know, they pulled up in a convertible. They were all in American flag bikinis and they were like, hop in. And they went around.
Terrific.
He's beautiful. Got his little harness on. He's fine. You know, he's got a little flannel harness on. It's very nice.
Precious.
Yeah.
Good for him. I'm glad he got to have a nice day out.
Mm-hmm. This is, Patty, train Liza go to Josie's. Teach her the way. Teach her the path.
Boy. We'll get to work on it. Sure. Why not?
I feel like you need, if you're going to bring, I mean, a lot of dogs seem cool with it, and I'm like amazed. I feel like you'd have to wait until it's so old that it's deaf. Because otherwise, like, bars are too loud for me, and I'm a human being who knows what's going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Feel like for a dog, it's a lot.
I think we have another. I would say we have like another 6 months before we'd even consider that, just from a maturity perspective. She's too like got it. Unless she's on, you know, unless it's like a day she went to the vet, or a grooming or something where we had to give her a little anti-anxiety stuff to kind of chill her out, and it's still in effect. Then maybe, but other than that,
damn, she's just like me.
She's
got to take
around.
Her anti-anxiety meds before she goes to the bar.
She is like, I mean, because we're still doing it now because she's like, she's basically healed up, but we're still doing it. So just to keep her from getting too overactive, you know, like with the spay stuff, because there could be like internal stitches that might, you know, we don't know. But And so we give her a morning and night, and we give her like the max that she can have between, you know, like 12 hour intervals. And when it starts taking effect, like this morning, she was kind of nuts and running around and stuff. I'd given it to her like an hour before, and I was like, when are we going to? And then I took her out, and she unexpectedly had to like go to the bathroom more than I thought. You know, I thought she was already done with that. And we came back upstairs, and like it was like flipping a light switch. She was like,
she was eyes out,
barely staying open, like, you know, but like wanting to kind of do like, because they don't, they're like, I don't want to go to bed. I'm kind of like, you know, like, well, what else is going on? And they're just kind of like awkwardly stumbling around. And then she just kind of was like, all right, fine. And she does this thing where she rings the bells in the apartment, on the door out of the apartment, spins around and flops in place next to the door. And that's like the official sign of like, I'm ready to go to sleep. Like I'm
not done.
I'm not going to be a pain in the ass anymore. And that's when we usually are like, oh, thank God. Like at like, you know, attention. At 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. or so is when we get hit with that. It's good stuff.
Attention, I am retiring to my chambers.
Pretty much. And it's also like, it's so funny with the crate, because she's like, because she'll do it over and over again. And it's like, mm-hmm. It's there. You can just go in there. We don't like have to do a whole thing.
Carry me.
You know? She's like, no, I need you to give me the little B-shaped treat that goes that I get every time. You know, I need you to put me in. I can't just go in there. But
I recommend, she's too energetic. One thing works for me, you could try with her. Have you tried giving her eating two people's worth of Chinese food? That knocks me right out. I've canceled plans many a time because I ate too much Chinese food. Look, it's not my fault. Dumplings come in packs of eight, okay? You got to go through them.
You got to spray the bitter apple spray on the food so you don't eat it. You know, you got to control yourself.
Yeah.
Is that what you do for dogs?
On like furniture and stuff, we have done that. Yeah, it's with metal effect. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see.
So we did on your nails? Because
if she really
did you
get wants
the spicy nail?
I did not. I tried the spicy nail. THUM is the thumb, and it's not spicy. It's just like tastes bad. It's one that I used when I was like in high school. Did not work. I powered right through it because the impulse is too strong. You know,
none of that has ever worked for me. I will keep gnawing away at those shits. I've never been able to get rid of it.
Chowing down on Nintendo Switch cartridges, throwing them back.
I don't know what it was. There was just, I can't even point to it, but I just stopped having the urge after being like obsessive my whole life with biting my nails. Wow. It just like went away. So
did anything else like change in your life around that time?
I guess it's around when I started dating Whitney. I don't know. I mean, like just like as like, wow. I have a girlfriend. And
put
now
this
I can
in
stop.
Your grossest wedding vows ever, please.
Yeah.
Thank you for getting me to stop biting my nails down to the quick, like a sick horse.
Right, without any like even comment on it or anything, I just stopped wanting to. It was not like any. Yeah. It was very strange.
We need the hoof GP to put Patty's hand in the crush and remove some sort of piece of metal. That's a video where it's like, oh, the relief, finally extracted. Yeah. Well,
I hope that for me one day that I
crush.
suddenly lose the urge to chew my nails off. It has not happened yet.
I never had that. I was a trichotillomania guy.
Oh yeah, that was your.
Yeah.
What did you pull out? Beard
right here. It kind of works because it just turns into like manicuring it because it just like it keeps the lines.
I did that for a while. I still every so often will do it, and I think it's what made it all gray. That was a real.
Yeah, but it's a good look.
It is a good look. But you think it like you pulled it out and then it grew back gray?
Eventually, I think that's kind of it hastened it because it is sort of gray in the areas where I was doing it and not so much elsewhere. It's not. I don't think it's like a 1-to-1 thing, but. I would prefer if my mustache was like fully dark and not as sort of white and gray as it is.
There's this like Rogaine, I think it's Rogaine stuff that I get every time I watch wrestling. It gets advertised to me where it's like basically like mascara for your facial hair.
It's like just for men.
Oh, just for men. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that just
that shit? Look like a college football coach, dude.
All you have to do is just brush it in every day for the rest of your life. Yeah. And no one will ever know that.
You don't look like Wooly Willy at all.
Right. And like, if you stop doing it, you'll just be gray the next day. If you see somebody and they'll be like, you're all right, man. Like, you know, like, what? Oh no, I saw something really scary yesterday. So,
whatever. Sometimes my eyelids are purple and sometimes they're not. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's makeup. It's okay.
It's all fine. I don't care. You know, so But anyway, yes, yeah. That is that's I'm glad that he went to Finks and he, you know, that's a what a fun thing. I mean, like, it's like the most benevolent sort of, I don't want to say dog napping because it wasn't, but it's kind of like, come on, little man. Like, you know, I guess it's like, let's help him get out of the cold. Let's get him in the bar. You know, like, that's like a fun little thing.
Yeah. Hold on.
Very fun. Good for him.
We'll do one more story.
Yeah.
Wrap this bonus
tell
up.
Us about the, tell us about the body bard. That's what I want to talk
the
about.
The body bard. Yeah. This is Patty and Kath are going to sleep. They're both tucked in right now. And Kath is going, tell us about the body bard. Tell us the tale.
Tell us the story.
So this is a discovery. It's funny because, you know, they're calling it a unique record of medieval live comedy performance in a 15th century manuscript. And I've read through it. And it is like a set list. It's like they found a notebook. Like they found a 15th century stand-up's notebook.
Imagine your joke notebook gets recovered by archaeologists. Nightmare. Yeah. Nightmare situation.
I mean, I'm surprised that this is, like, I would think they'd be like, yeah, we found an old comics joke notebook. It has, it appears to have been written in twice and then left at a tavern. Like, that's most of them. So yeah, they look through it. They've got a bunch of different stuff in it. Classic. I mean, they have, the guy's talking about it, and this guy clearly is like, stand-up comedy has always involved taking risks, and these texts are risky. They poke fun at everyone, high and low.
Ooh.
This guy actually though, he appeared in a lot more paintings than he had actual performances. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Trying to analogize it to the to the current day. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's actually, they found a couple set lists of his. The first couple were him making fun of everybody, and then the last couple were about how you can't say anything anymore.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
He was more of a scene guy than a real kind of, you know.
He was a good hang.
Yeah.
Most people found him through 15-second recreations of his bits, done with shadows on the walls of the palace or whatever. But yeah, so I mean, obviously, like, the jokes aren't really, sorry, they're not that good. I mean, well, like, it's not that they're not good. Damn. They're written in this, like, look, I don't think I'm, 15th century comedy, word economy, not fully advanced yet.
Kind of a lot they hadn't figured that out. Yeah.
Yeah, but.
From like 15 years ago isn't funny. I wouldn't expect 15th century comedy to be that funny.
Yeah. So it's like, and it's like kind of apparently like an absurdist comic or whatever. They described it as the Battle of Braconwet is an alliterative nonsense verse, which is rare in Middle English. This guy was pushing the envelope at the time. It's a text features Robin Hood as well as jousting bears, battling bumblebees, and partying pigs.
Okay.
The poem named several
villages.
Did
this guy executed for being some kind of heretic or something? I feel like this is like.
Are we sure this is a stand-up set and not like a slam poet? It sounds very slam poet-y to me.
Also, Patty, clearly you're forgetting that he is the jester, the only one who is allowed to speak truth to the king.
Yes, of course. Of course.
So, yeah. So I have this, and I'm trying to find the thing that the specific quote I saw that was interesting before, which was oh yeah, so he says Wade thinks the minstrel, which is a word that has not aged great, wrote part of his act down because its many nonsense sequences would have been extremely difficult to recall. So yeah, he's literally like, he needs to
do you think there was prejudice against pulling out your notes in your bard performance, or people like, this is amateur hour, man, you can't be doing that?
They had to have been a lot bigger. I mean, I feel like it's a lot less glancing at, like,
crack a tome, illuminated tome.
Was it one of those bits that's, like, not so much funny as it is hard, so he, like, expected an applause break every time because he remembered to say all that type? Is
he memorized something.
Yeah.
God, yeah, that, I know, that, like, funny people ass. Who have some of those. Those fucking suck. Fuck you if you do those. I'm sorry.
Blow the first time I see them, and then every time I see them after that is, like, exponentially worse.
People, it's literally like you have to know if you're doing one of those. People clap at the end because it would be awkward if they didn't. Like, yeah. That's why they're excited that it's over.
Also,
because they're impressed that you memorized a lot.
And, like, why are we impressed, dude?
I don't know what this is.
Is this
a medieval
Yeah, like
music?
It sounds like the music that it plays when you open a Hearthstone. Blizzard Entertainment.
This little part.
But, like, why are we
impressed?
This is
like, old school Seinfeld is what this is.
Oh, okay, so this is sick. Yeah, okay, there it is.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. No, but, like, why are we impressed with people? Like people are, like, over-impressed because you remember. And it's, like, this is something fourth graders do for book reports, and those are longer than what you memorized. Like,
yeah. They really bother me. And again, I know people who have other funny jokes that sometimes will do them, and I feel bad, but I'm just like, don't do the other ones that are funny. Like, we need to get rid of this. It's lazy. It really bothers me.
Yeah. Especially
but
when it's not even...
But in 15th century comedy, I guess it was a novel thing.
Yeah, yeah. No one had realized you could remember stuff yet. They were like, my God, such information in his brain. It's cool. And then they have that. They have a poem about The Hunting of the Hare is a poem about peasants, which is full of jokes and absurd hijinks. There's a scene that is basically very reminiscent, they say, of Monty Python's Killer Rabbit of Cabernog.
It's been in the British consciousness for centuries.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize, but they were like, the idea of killer rabbits was like a very popular joke in this time. Killer rabbit jokes have a long tradition in medieval literature. Chaucer did this a century earlier, calling him out. This is Chaucer did it.
Hack.
That's a Chaucer bit.
Yeah. So Chaucer did this a century earlier in the Canterbury Tales. They have like a cool old illustration from something called the Smithfield Decretals from the 1340s, which is just a picture of a big rabbit cutting a guy's head off, which kind of rules. And,
that's not exactly what, when you think killer rabbit, I don't think of a rabbit having an implement of war. That's interesting.
Executioner, yeah.
No, he's this, cool. He has a belt on.
I get why these were so popular, because that, when I first saw that in Monty Python and the Holy Grail, it was the funniest thing ever. It was like, something happened in my brain and all of a sudden I could use 10% more of it after I saw that. Like it fundamentally changed my reality.
I was
11. I wasn't like 25, to be clear.
No, but yeah. I mean, I feel
it's
like anytime up to and including
college,
like the first time you see Holy Grail, you're like, oh my God. Like, I mean, I feel like if we polled like funny people that we know, it would be like a common denominator, at least of a certain age, you know, within a certain age kind of bracket, you know, and it's obviously been, there are people who are very corny about it and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, but I mean, it's an amazing piece of work, truly.
Business.
It was a personal favorite as well.
But also, so it appears that there's a combination of, like, there's this set list, this notebook, and then there's also a manuscript, the Heeg manuscript, that was recordings of performances. So the original Vulture, Shelby's favorite website, vulture.com, the guy was writing down, you know, I don't know if he gave it a grade, but
what do you mean, Vulture? Someone was doing reviews of this? Is that what you're saying?
It is apparently basically that. Like, it was this guy, you know, he's like, so I went to a performance. Here's what I thought of it. He liked it, wow. I think, as far as I can tell. It's cool. Medieval stuff is cool, so, you know? Shocker
cool.
for me to say that, but yeah.
I feel like I don't think about the origins of stand-up comedy coming from this. Like, I always think about it as like Andrew Dice Clay, the inventor of stand-up comedy. Andrew Dice Clay. I think of it more as like Yiddish theater into like Borscht Belt. Like, that's how I think of the lineage of comedy. But I mean, obviously people have been doing live performances that involve humor for a long time.
Also, I was joking, but Andrew Dice Clay is like not that far off from this. Like,
this
he was
is
doing
Hickory
nursery
Dickory
rhymes.
Doc shit.
Yeah, like this is also Hickory Dickory Doc Suck My Cock would like murder in the 13th century.
I had murder
people
now.
Yeah,
it, there was a time where it was hacky, and then now I feel like it would murder again. I feel like people would like it.
Yeah, he is kind of back, isn't he? He's like doing like TikToks and shit.
I feel like there's been some reappraisal. I don't know if it's justified or not.
I don't know of his act. He's as an actor, he was in like A Star Is Born and stuff. You know, and it, you know, like I don't know about his. I don't know if people are going back and looking at his material and talking about, you know.
Yeah, no, that would absolutely destroy in a tavern, though. You're right.
Because somebody just thought of Hickory Dickory Dock. It was like it's like the thing that just came out last year. It's like, woo!
It was a topical joke.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Time machine
just came out last year. Did you hear the new rhyme that just came out?
New rhyme just dropped. Some sort of medieval Anthony Fantano reviewing rhymes that just dropped.
Yeah. And there's a whole like angry like discourse around it because Dickory is like not a word. You know what I mean? So it's like what is that? That doesn't help. That come on, you know.
It doesn't scan. Come on. Yeah.
Hickory, that's a wood. Dock, that's where boats are. But Dickory, what in the fuck world is this?
You could just make up words back then, though, and they'd, you know, they'd catch on like wildfire. Yeah, that would be another thing. You just review the words that came out last year.
Yeah. Well, the Jabberwocky, like, numbers-wise, has to be top for, like, words that people were like, these are all cool words. We're going to keep a lot of these
we're
around.
Mm-hmm.
All in. I don't know, I make up words. They're fun. Why not? Have
like
a little
AI
fun.
Clock.
Yeah. And they're writing the time, the wrong time and then making up some words.
The reason for the teasing.
Exactly. Yeah. Well,
and
should
then,
we go?
This is the final thing we'll leave it on. And that apparently, everybody got shit-faced all the time back then. That's pretty well known because,
no
potable water problems.
No Coca-Cola. Yeah.
But apparently the guy who wrote down this manuscript of it, Richard Heeg, he has noted that by me, Richard Heeg, because I was at that feast and did not have a drink. So he's like, I was the only fucking person who remembers any of this shit because everybody was blasted.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. This is cool. I would write, if you're curious, like, look this up. There's a lot of information because it's academic. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learn your history. This was the medieval podcast that was happening back then.
Yeah. Tune in.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
We'll see you.